Go.
Okay, so I'll just read it. Today's shiur is sponsored or dedicated in memory of Yitzchak Tzvi ben Meshulam Zusya, whose yahrzeit site is Chaf Hei Av. It's dedicated by one of my fellow HALB classmates of 1977. I think we can all guess who that is. Thank David for the sponsorship, and we'll learn Le'ilui Nishmaso. Okay, today's shiur will have three parts. The first will be a discussion of Birchos Hananin, right? Brachos that we make for the most part before and after we eat. Second small part on Birchos HaMitzvah, Asher Kishem Sof Sivonu Leishev Basukah, Lishmoa Kol Shofar, all those brachos that we make before mitzvos. And the third will be a dangerous part, partly based on some Kabbalistic ideas. I want to make it clear that they're Rav ideas that are based on Kabbalah, a type of Kabbalah that the Rav thought was accessible to all. I think I understand it. I recognize that some of it may sound strange, and some people may be even offended by it. I will try to, share it with you in the way that I understand it. I can tell you that to me, it makes brachos more meaningful. And I want to be clear, the fact that I was at the Ari HaKadosh's kever yesterday has no impact on the fact that I'm mentioning this in the shir. It just happens to be that I was in Tzfat yesterday, but I was planning to talk about it before. But if I seem particularly inspired, you should know. But I didn't go in the mikvah, not yesterday. Even though it was 110 degrees and it was a good day to go in a freezing cold mikvah, I didn't. Okay. What do brachos have to do with this week's parsha? So, of course, the answer is this week's parsha has the source for benching. Benching is the only bracha that is universally recognized as being min haTorah. Every other bracha that we're going to discuss today is midrabanan. Okay, it still obviously matters, but only benching is min haTorah. There is a discussion you should be aware of, which we're not going to go into today, about whether birchas haTorah is also a bracha that's midoraisa. So that's a whole discussion. But aside from that discussion, everybody agrees that benching is the source, it is the only mitzvah min haTorah that consists entirely of a bracha. Okay, now, so therefore, I suppose if benching is the only mitzvah doraisa, benching serves a sort of home base for any discussion of brachos. And the discussion we want to get to eventually is what does it mean to make a bracha? Not just what does a bracha mean, but what does it mean when we make a bracha? Now, I'll pull up a sheet just so we could start and then we'll come back. Let's see. Okay. It's true. Now I want to make a side point, but a point that's important for today. It's important for the shiur in general. If you ask anybody, what's the source for benching min haTorah, they will tell you in source number one, Pasuk Yud, V'achalto v'savato uveirachto as Hashem alokecha al ha'aretz hatova shenasan lach. And that's the correct answer. That's the source for the mitzvah d'oraisa of benching. But that does not mean that the context of the Pasuk is unimportant. Technically speaking, Pasuk Yud is the source. But of course, Pasuk Yud doesn't stand on its own. So let's read the Pasuk before and more importantly, the Pasuk afterwards. The Torah is describing coming to the land of Israel. Every time I look at this, I think that benching should have been a mitzvah, hatfluya ba'aretz, you only bench in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the din is otherwise. The Torah is describing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Moshe Rabbeinu is describing the land of Eretz. Eretz asher lo b'miskenu tochal ba'lechem lo techsar kol ba. It's a land in which you won't have to work really, really hard to find food. Nothing will be lacking in this land. Eretz asher avonav varzel umehara tachzov nechoshes. Right, the stones are copper, and you could quarry stones from the mountains. Right, it's a lovely, lovely, beautiful, incredible place. And in that place, va'achalta v'savata, you'll eat and be satiated. Uveirachtas Hashem alokecha. And you will bless God al ha'aretz hatova asher nasan lach on the blessed land that He gave us. Next pasuk, Hishamer lecha, be very careful. Pen tishkachet Hashem alokecha. Be very careful not to forget God. Livil, right? Obviously, if you're living well, if there's rain and there's produce and everything's going well, you might forget God. Livil tishmar mitzvotavu mishpatavu chukotav asher anochi mitzavecha kol mitzavecha hayom. And if you forget God, you may forget to observe his mitzvos, both ases and los ases, that which I am commanding you today. Obviously, Moshe is in the middle of his speech. So there is kind of this interesting question. What does Hishomer lecha pen tishkachet Hashem elokecha have to do with benching? Right? There must be a flow to the psukim. So the psukim say the land is going to be great, and it's going to be so great after you eat and you're satiated, you're going to bless God. And then, seemingly unconnected, but as we'll see, very connected, do not forget God. Okay? That's the opening question, and we'll come back to that. Let's start with the Gemara in Brachos, which is going to try to find a source for the idea of Brachos based on benching, but will also introduce us to an idea that's unrelated directly to Brachos, but it's a fascinating idea, and that is the power of a svara. What's the role of logic in deducing halacha? So everybody knows, you know, there's such a thing as a kal vachomer. A kal vachomer is logical. If I could pick up a package that weighs 10 pounds, so certainly I could pick up a package that weighs 5 pounds, right? That's just logic. How powerful is logic? Now, kal vachomer is not just logic. Kal vachomer is one of the yud gimel midos shatoni dreshes b'ayin, right? Exer shava, the same word, that's not logical. That's one of the hermeneutic principles that we can dash in the Torah with, or that Tanan can dash in the Torah with. What's the role of logic, or as the Gemara says, svara? What's the role of a svara? So look at source number two. The Gemara in Brachos and Lamed Hayam and Aleph says as follows: Hateinach la'acharav. I understand that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to bench after I eat. Lefanav minayin. The Gemara wants to say, if there's a bracha afterwards, there must be a bracha before. What's the source? Halo kasha. The Gemara says, no question. The asi b'kal v'chomer. Now you can learn that with the kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Kishehu soveya mevarech. If when a person is satiated, he has to bless God, kishehu ra'ev lo kol shekein. When he's hungry, how much more so must it be that he has to bless God? And the Gemara goes back and forth whether that's a really good kal v'chomer or not. I think most of us, if we thought about it, would say that's not a really good kal v'chomer. I'd say the opposite, right? When I finish eating, I have a reason to bless God and to thank him, because I'm satiated. When I'm hungry, maybe I don't have a reason to bless God. Why would I thank him yet? I'm still hungry. Says the Gemara, Ella Sfarahu. There is no pasuk. It is, what's a good English translation for Sfara? A logical deduction. Okay, a logical deduction. What's the Sfara? Says the Gemara, an interesting Sfara. Asur lo la'adam sheyehaneh min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's a svara. We're religious people. We believe in God. It's prohibited for us to benefit, to get pleasure from this world without first making a bracha. Okay, you know, you could argue how compelling is that svara, but it's a svara. Okay, so the Gemara is suggesting that there is no textual support for a mitzvah of making a bracha of shahako or mizonos or ha'etz or adama, but it's a svara, right? We're not allowed to take a fruit without first asking God for permission or without first making a bracha. Now, interesting. What does that mean? There's no pasuk. It's a svara. Does that really work? How powerful is this idea of a svara? So the answer is, and be surprising to us, Rav Soloveitchik thought that a svara is the most powerful proof there is, followed by a pasuk. That's strange. How could you say that? A pasuk is obviously, you know, what God wants. But the Rav thought svaras, that, you know, they're d'oraisa. And it turns out, I always thought that was just like the Rav's idea, like something he would say things like that. He would say, you know, svara is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and being stupid is an iser d'oraisa. Because everything has to work. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But it turns out there are two explicit Gemaras that support this idea. Source number three. The Gemara in Ksubos is talking about something famous. There's a concept called Pesha Asar Hu HaPesha Hitir. Literally, the mouth that prohibited it is the same mouth that permitted it. What's an example? If I show up to court and I say, I borrowed $100 from Debbie, but I paid her back. I have no support for the fact that I paid her back. And so she says, no, no, you didn't pay me back. The Gemara says, we believe me because hapesha osar hu hapesha hitir. The whole obligation of owing $100 to Debbie was me who made it up in the first place. So if you believe me to say that I owe $100, you have to believe me to say that I paid it back. Here's the Gemara in Ksuba, source number three. Amravasi minayin lahapesha asa hu hapesha hitir min haTorah. How do we know that this concept is biblical? Shenemar, Gemara has a pasuk, SBT nasati lo ish hazeh leisha. The Gemara dashes leish asra. I said I gave my daughter to this man. That made my daughter a married woman and asra and everybody else. Hazeh, this one, now I'm matir my daughter. Once, because I'm the person who said she was married, then I'm the person who could say she's no longer married. Now, that's not what we want. Here's what we want, where I bolded it. Asks the Gemara, why do I need a pasuk? Lama likra svarahi. It's a logical deduction. Hu asra v'hu sharila. Says the Gemara, I don't need a pasuk to teach me apesha asa hu apesha hitir. It's a svara. I'm the one who said she was asur. If you believe me to say she was asur, you should believe me to say that she's now mutter. Okay? Here's the Gemara. The Gemara says, no need for a pasuk if you have a svara. Another example. Source number four. Martin Baba Kama Memvav Amud Bet. Says the Gemara. Minayin lahamotzi mechadero olav haraya. One of the most important rules in Dine Mamonos. Right? We say, when I was a little kid, right? Possession is 9/10 of the law. So that's not exactly what the din is. But hamotzi mechadero olav haraya is, if I want to get something out of you, right? If you have a painting in your house and I'm claiming that it's mine, the burden of proof is on me. Hamotzi mechavero alav araya. I can't just walk into your house and take it. The burden of proof is on me. Ask the Gemara, how do I know that that's the din? Shenema, the Gemara says, it's a pasuk. Mi baldvarim yigash alehem. Okay, yigash. The drasha is the person who wants something has to go to the person who has it and bring proof. Here comes what we want. Maskif lo ravashi, halama likra. Why do I need a pasuk? Svarahu. I don't need a pasuk. It's intuitive. It's logical. Dekaiv le keiva azu lebeasya. You have a pain, you go to the doctor. If you want to claim something belongs to you, you need to bring proof. You know, in a way, the Gemara is saying what we all figure out. You can't run a society unless the assumption is that whatever it is that I'm holding belongs to me. The assumption is the house that I've been living in belongs to me. The field I've been working belongs to me. Okay? So two examples. Pesha asar, pesha hitir. The Gemara says, how do I know? And then the Gemara brings the pasuk. The Gemara says, who needs a pasuk? It's a svara. Similarly, hamotzi mechavera olav haraya, same exact thing. Gemara wants to bring a svara. The answer is no. Who? I'm sorry, the Gemara wants to bring a pasuk. The answer is, who needs a pasuk? It's a svara. Yes.
Can we say the differential that really, yeah, everything's svara, but there are hierarchies, punishment, structure, that separate the ricers to the bottom, or the world can be run on svara, But the derisas are the things that we sort of like constitutionally be able to enact punishment and compensation.
So I'm glad that you're buying into my idea of the importance of Svara, but even I don't think that the whole world can be run on Svara. And in fact, that's the next point I want to make. That's the question Rav Asher asks, which is, wait, here's the thing. I just made an argument in favor of Birchos Hanenin being d'oraisa, right? It's a svara. Asur la'adam lehanos min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's prohibited misvara to benefit from this world without first blessing God or without first asking God for permission. The problem is, I made such a strong case, everybody knows that Birchas Hanenin are drabanan. It's all over the place. Making Shehakol is a drabanan. Making Hamotzi is drabanan. All brachos are suffic brachos lahakel. That should not be the case. If Svaros are d'oraisa, so why is it the case that Birchas Hanenin, which the Gemara says is a Svara, is understood by all Rishonim and all Achronim and by all Amoraim and all Tanaim as being drabanan? Shouldn't it be d'oraisa? So here, and I find this whole topic fascinating, because obviously there's a certain built-in risk in relying too much on a svara, right? Even Henry, I don't think you want me to kill somebody based on a svara. It's a dangerous thing to do. So the question is, what are the limitations? And let's do it in our context. Our question is simply this. The Gemara says that brachos are learned out from a svara of asur la'adam lehanos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. I brought you two gemaros to make it clear that a svara is a d'oraisa. So if there's a svara pursuant to which I have to make a mizonos before I eat cookies, shouldn't bari mina mizonos be d'oraisa? So here, Rav Asher has two theories. They're both really, really good, and they're both really helpful in analyzing both the power and the limitation of a svara. Rav Asher says, and listen to this, he says, you have to distinguish between pure logic, which requires a halachic conclusion, meaning I use my logic and there's no way out. But that's different than moral intuition. So for example, he says, what's the svara for making a bracha rishona? The svara is asur la'adam lehanos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's wrong for a person to benefit from this world without first blessing God. Rav Asher says that's not the type of svara that's d'oraisa. That's a that's a frum svara. I believe in God, and I believe that God created the world, and it seems wrong to me. It seems morally wrong to me to eat an apple from a tree without making a bracha. Rav Asher says, that's not the type of svara that's koveya halacha. Why not? He said, because if that's the svara, then how do you apply it? Let's say we say, okay, great. It would be morally offensive to me to pick a fruit and not make a bar pra eitz. Well, is that really what the svara teaches me? Maybe the svara teaches me that once a day, I have to make a birchas hananin. Maybe when in the morning I have to say Baruch Adash Lekol Hamasher Shakol Niyah Bidvaro, and that covers my whole day. How do I know any of the halachos? How do I know that there's a difference between the bracha on a vegetable and the bracha on a fruit and the bracha on a piece of cake? I don't know any of those halachos. How do I know whether the bracha has to be made before or after? So Rav Asher says you can't trust svaros that are based on sort of morality or frumkeit or belief in God. You could trust it, your halachic intuition can be trusted such that it must be that we're supposed to thank God or ask God for permission or bless God. But the types of brachos and when I make them and how I make them, all those are drabana. The fact that there is a range of brachos, shahako, mizono, sa'etz, adama, right? Boy, Priya Gafen, those are all drabana. You can't learn out more than what your moral intuition gives you. On the other hand, he says, things like hapesha asahu hapesha hitir, I'll say it in my language, that's a svar that would work in civil court. That's not a religious argument. Hamotzi mechaver al v'raya. It's not a religious argument. It's just how halacha has to function. Any logical system of halacha would use a rule like, if I believe you to prohibit, I'll believe you to permit. It will use a rule like, possession is 9/10 of the law. Okay, so that's Rav Asher's first shita, that you can't trust moral intuition to teach you halacha, but you can trust, logical intuition or regular logic to teach you how a system works. The second answer,
Ellie, could you say that it deals with the principle but not with the detail?
You could. That, I think the second, there's a bunch buried in this answer. And I think Debbie's right that one of the answers could be, there's only so much you can learn from a svara. The svara tells me I have to thank God. All the details will be drabanan. And that may be. Whereas moral intuition, it's not a detail. Moral intuition is, how does the system work? The system works that if you're living in a house, we believe you that it's your house. Otherwise, the system falls apart. Okay? But that din, that hamotzi mechavera alav haraya, is doraisa, even though there's no source for it. Because otherwise, the logic won't work and the system will fall apart. Rav Asher's second theory is that a svara can never be this. It's related to the first one, but slightly different. A svara can never be the source for a mitzvah, but it can be the source for a din. You understand the difference? You can't make up your own mitzvah based on a svara. I really believe that I should make kiddush on Thanksgiving. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be makir tov. I could make up a whole theory. You know, in America, saved my grandparents. I could make up a whole thing. Rav Asher says simply the case. You can't make up a din, but you can't make up a mitzvah based on a svara, but you could make up a din, meaning hamotzi mechavera olav haraya. It's not a mitzvah, it's a din, right? Hapesha asa, hapesha hit you, 1 second. It's not a mitzvah, it's a din. And both of these svaros work beautifully with the next Gemara, which is pretty famous, and then we'll do questions. Source number 5. The Gemara here is talking on Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph about the three big ones, the three Yehareg Va'al Yavors, right? They are Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arayas, and Shvichas Damim. How do we know that Shvichas Damim, that killing, that if somebody says to me, kill this other person or I'll kill you, you have to allow yourself to be killed, asks the Gemara in source number 5, Rotzach Gufei Min Alon. How do I know that killing is one of the three Yahareg Val Yavors? Answers the Gemara, Svarahu. Once again, it's a Svara. What's the Svara? Dahu da'asu l'kamei d'rabah. They came in front of Rabbah v'amalei. Amali mari durai zil katle l'planya. The mayor or some local strongman said, kill Plony, v'ilo katlina lach. If you don't kill Plony, I'm going to kill you. Omale, what does Rabba say back? Lik tulach velo tiktol. Let him kill you and do not kill the other person. Why not? It's a svara. Miyema didama didach sumak tfei. Who says literally that your blood is redder? Dilma dama dahu gavra sumak tfei. Maybe the blood of the person who you're being told to kill is redder, meaning the Gemara is saying, Misvara, we're not in a position to determine whose life is more valuable. That's dangerous. That's a Svara that won't work. If everybody goes around determining that their life is more valuable than somebody else's, there's going to be a lot of dead people out there. So Rava says, how do I know that you're not allowed to kill another person, even if the result will be that you will be killed? It's a Svara. And Rav Asher pointed out, that's exactly what we're talking about. Based on both of the theories, this is the type of svara that works to teach us a din. It's not a mitzvah that you be killed and let the other person live. It's a din. How do I know what to do in this circumstance? If somebody puts a gun to my head, the answer is svara tells me what to do. Similarly, it's not religious morality. It's logic. logic tells me that I can't determine whose life is more valuable than somebody else's. Okay, so we do have in the end the implementation of this theory. The source for how do I know that murder is Yahar Val Yavar is nothing more and nothing less than a Svara. Okay, Henry, I cut you off before.
No, it's really followed your way, but the difference between mitzvah and you know din is a mitzvah, and all these things are an extension of that din. And so like there's one mitzvah, which is having court system, and Kodesh Baruch said you have to have a court system, and all these things are an offshoot of that mitzvah.
I think you're expanding it too broadly. I really do. But okay. In my example, right? You can't make Kiddush on Thanksgiving because you made up a Svara. But the idea that you should be Makir Tov, and how does that express itself? Maybe that's okay, because Hakaras HaTov presumably is a universal value that would be the subject of anybody's intuition. Okay, but let's just review. So again, we started with benching, which is Doraisa. The Gemara said, what about Birchos Hananin? The Gemara answered, Birchos Hananin is a Svara. What's the Svara? Asur la'adam lehanos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Because it's got to be the case that it's prohibited to get hana from this world without a bracha. Okay? So we saw that Svara should be Doraisa. Why is the Svara for Birchos Hananin only Drabbanan? So Rav Asher said either second answer, because you can't learn out a mitzvah from Svara, you could just learn out a din. Or first answer, you can't learn out something from religious intuition, from religious morality. We're from people, so we think it doesn't make any sense to get any benefit from this world without thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's just us, because we're from. That's not general logic. Okay.
How would you translate the word din? A corollary?
No. I would say a din is more about methodology. How does the system work? It's a din that the way court cases work is that we believe a person. Here, Al Pishnaim Eidim Yakum Davar is a pasuk in the Torah. It establishes not so much a mitzvah, but a din. How do I know that in court, two witnesses are the gold standard of proof? Right, that's not a mitzvah, that's a din. That's how the system works, that's how the system has to work, right? Hamotzi mechavar olav haraya is not a mitzvah, it's a din. The system works, you know, in that way, right? Bringing a tea to my mother is a mitzvah. Now you could argue, and Henry, you know, you could all try to expand the idea of a din, but you see the difference, right?
Now,
if I have to decide, I wish I had this decision to make. Do I bring a tea first to my father, Zichron Levracha, or to my mother, she should live and be well? That's a din. How do I determine who comes first? That's a din within the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim. Okay, last piece of the first part of the shir. And that is as follows. How exactly do we understand the Svara? It actually plays out, halacha l'maisa. It's a fascinating idea. Again, the Svara is, how do I know I'm supposed to make a bracha rishona before I eat? Because asur la'adam lehanos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. What is the result of that Svara? Is it a new mitzvah, derabanan, called brachos? Or B, no, it's not a mitzvah at all. It's a matir. I have an apple in front of me. It's asur for me to eat the apple. If I make a bracha, it becomes mutter for me to eat the apple because it was prohibited. Literally, asur la'adam la'anos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. The apple was treif. When I make a bracha, all of a sudden the apple turned out to be kosher, right? That's the second theory. The first theory is no. What the Svara taught me is that there's a mitzvah derabanan to make a bracha. That seems like a machlokas in Tosfos in source number 5. There the Gemara is talking about, well, you'll see in a second, Pirush Rav Ilfus. Hashta de lo ifshita. The Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what the status of Birchos Hananin is, ba'ayin, azlinan lakula. So we'll be makil. It's the Rabbanan. Va'afilu pasach b'chamra v'siyem b'shichra yatsa. The Gemara has a question. You started saying, Baruch atah Hashem l'kinu melech olam, thinking you're about to drink beer, meaning the end of the bracha would be shakol niyeh b'dvaro. I'm sorry, thinking you were going to drink wine. So the end of the bracha would have been borei pri agafen, but it turns out you have beer. And so the end of the bracha is shakol niyeh b'dvaro. So the Rif said, it's drabanan. The Gemara doesn't conclude, it's only drabanan. So sofek drabanan lakula. And we'll assume that that bracha works. V'riha ya'omer l'chumra d'tzarech l'varech pa'am acheres. The Ri says, no, we're going to be machmir, and if you started making a bracha, even though the words were correct, but you intended to say a different bracha than the one you landed up saying, your bracha is pasul, and you have to make a new bracha. What's the machlokes? So one possibility is as follows. The Rif says, Sveika drabanan lekula. When I have a suffek in brachos, it's drabanan, so it'll always be mekil. So that makes a lot of sense. So what's the Ri's shita? So it's possible the Ri says, yes, it's true, that sveika drabanan lekula, or said another way, suffek brachos lahakel, but that's just normally. But what do you do when you're not allowed to eat it without the bracha? What if I was right? Remember the second part of the chakira. What if the apple is treif till I make a bracha? Then it's not sveika drabanan lekula. It's not just a bracha issue. I'm not allowed to eat this apple. Asula adam la'anos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. You know where this plays out? It plays out when a person is an onei. Okay, what's the din? God forbid somebody loses somebody. Before the funeral, you're not an avel, you're an onein, and you're putter in all brachos and all tfilos and what have you. So halacha lamaisa, we all know, as strange as it is, you don't make a bracha, right? Before the funeral, you take a drink of water, you do not make a bracha. It's strange. You don't make a bar nefashos either. That's because we paskin that brachos are mitzvos drabanan. But according to the Ri, where it was a matir, meaning you can't eat a cheeseburger before the levaya. It's true, you're an onei. You don't make brachos, but isurim are still isurim. So the Ri would say you should make a bracha before the funeral, because if you don't make a bracha, the thing you're eating is asur. Right? It's a fascinating chakira. We obviously paskin like the Rif that the food is not asur. It's not to be understood literally that asur la'adam la'anos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. That's a source for the mitzvah d'rabbanan of brachos. But that's not the answer to the question. Okay? So that's a fascinating, again, the chakira is it really asur to be nanam min olam hazeh b'lo bracha? In which case, brachos would be a much more important thing than we think. Because you would have to make a bracha even when it's usher for you to make a bracha. Because the bracha is not just the mitzvah drabanan, the bracha is a matir. Without the bracha, I'm not allowed to eat. I can't eat any food. Or no, don't understand usher la'anos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Literally, understand it figuratively as the source for the mitzvah drabanan of making brachas, which in fact is how we passed it. Okay, clear? Questions? No. Okay. Let's look quickly at a machlokas Ramam and Ravid. I'll admit to you, I don't know how it fits in, but it's fascinating. And maybe somebody here will have a better idea than I do. Source number 6. Here's the Ramam Hilchos Brachos Perak Aleph Halacha Yutes. Says the Ramam, Kala Ochel Davar Ha'asur, anybody who's eating a cheeseburger, Bein Bizadon, Bein Bishkaga, you knew what it was or you didn't know. You don't make a bracha. Not a bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona. Okay, that's enough. The Rambam's going to then tell us, you know, it applies all to mitzvahs, it applies to isurim drabanan. And third line, ve'ein tzarich lomar, and certainly, imachal nevelot utrefot. If you went to McDonald's, o shata yain nesach ukiyotzba, if you really ate an isidoreisa, obviously there's no bracha. So on the one hand, the Rambam kind of is intuitive, right? It seems offensive to make a bracha on a cheeseburger. On the other hand, right? So if you go to the other svar, you say, well, it'd be also to eat the cheeseburger without a bracha. Yeah, but it's also to eat the cheeseburger with a bracha. Interestingly, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says in the third line from the bottom where my cursor is, ta'a b'zeh ta'ut gedola. The Rambam made a big mistake. He misunderstood a Gemara, says the Ravid. Shelo amru shein mevarchim, ela shein mezamnim aleim. The Ravid says the Rambam misunderstood. The Gemara says you don't make a zimun on food that's treif. She'ein lahem chashivut kviyut. Because you can't establish a kviyus, you can't establish a meal on something that's treif. Ho'el va'ochlin davar ha'asur. Vu kein achilas peros she'ein lahem keva. The zimun. It's like trying to make a zimun on fruit. Treif food is not important enough to make a kviyus to have a meal. Aval bracha tchila v'sof lama lo yivarchu ho'il v'nehenu. He says, but I don't understand. Why wouldn't you make a bracha, an opening bracha and a closing bracha? In the end, you did get hana, right? In the end, you know, you ate a cheeseburger. There was, you know, the cheeseburger helped you. It filled you up. So I feel like this machlokas is related to what we've been discussing, but I don't know how to prove it.
Different than eating, Ellie, is it any different than eating something kosher on Yom Kippur?
Yes, I thought about that. That I think is easy. Because,
why?
Because the food you're eating is mutter, right? It's the difference between, yeah, sorry to do this, chavtsa and gavro. In one case, the food is treif. On Yom Kippur, your food is mutter. Your food is not treif. You have a prohibition to eat the food. But the food you're making a bracha on is itself not prohibited to you. I think that's the distinction. And I think it's a correct distinction, even though it doesn't really happen to us. You know, presumably, if you ate on Yom Kippur, it's because you needed to eat. So hard to know. Because again, okay, you know, maybe a better example is, you know, you're walking in the desert and you're going to die. And then you find something and it's almost certainly, you know, pork, but it's going to keep you alive. But there too, it's mutter. I wonder if they would have the same machlokas. Might the Rambam say, yeah, but it's pork. You can't make a bracha on it, even though it's mutter for you to eat it. Hard to know. Okay, that's enough for the first part of the shiur. I want to get to the last part, so let's go quickly. What about birchas ha-mitzvah? What about bracha on matzah, on sukkah, on lulav, on shofar, on tefillin, on tzitzis, on mezuzah? Right? It's a whole different ballgame. There's no svara here to say, you know, I should make a bracha on the mitzvah. And it's interesting. God told us to eat matzah. God did not tell us to make a bracha when we eat matzah. So how do we deal with it? So the first thing is to know there is a shita that claims that birchos ha-mitzvah are d'oraisa. Rashi quotes it in the pasuk in the end of Sefer Dvarim, source number 7. Va'amarta lifnei Hashem alokecha, right? You're coming to bring bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. This is Bir Maestros, right? So you say that to God. So Rashi quotes the Sifrei. What does he mean? What didn't I forget? Rashi quotes the Sifrei. I didn't forget to make a bracha on Afrashas Maestros. Okay, that's a limud, which for some reason nobody takes too seriously, that would sound like Birchos HaMitzvah or Min HaTorah. But in fact, we don't paskin that way. Source number 8 says, Ditznan, Gimon Brachos Tezvah Min Aleph Ditznan, HaKoreh Shema V'lo Yishmi Ala Ozno Yatza. A person who read Shema but didn't say it audibly is Yotze, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Yatza. What's the machlokas? Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi lo yatza. Rabbi Yossi only says if you don't say Shema out loud, you're not Yotze. Elagabi kriya Shema do'oraisa. Because kriya Shema is a mitzvah do'oraisa, so we're machmir. Aval truma mishum brachahu. No, truma, we're just talking about saying the bracha out loud. U bracha dirabanan. all birchos hamitzvah are drabanan, velo bibracha talya milsa. No mitzvos are contingent on brachos. For example, right? If you ate matzah at your seder without saying Asher Kishem Sovsino al achilas matzah, you were yotzei the mitzvah. If you took a lulav without making the bracha, if you sat in the sukkah without making the bracha, they're all drabanan. They're all nice. They help me with kavana. They help me to focus. We should definitely say them. But birchos hamitzvah are not just drabanan. They're not at all ma'akev. Which is why almost always, if you forgot to make a bracha on a mitzvah, okay, so you lost that on the mitzvah, right? You didn't make a bracha, but you took your lulav, you sat in the sukkah, you're wearing tzitzis, you put on tefillin, you did the mitzvah, okay? And to do it again with a bracha is a safek bracha. For the most part, we think safek bracha is lahakel, right? If you took a lulav, and then you realize, oh, I took a lulav, but I didn't make a bracha. There's really no way to fix it. Because you were yotzei the mitzvah already. And to make the mitzvah, to say the bracha again, or to say the bracha in a situation where you already yotzei the mitzvah, is probably a bracha levatala.
So what do you mean you lost out on a mitzvah?
You lost out on the mitzvah drabana. Whatever it means that there's a mitzvah drabana to say, al achilas matzah, you lost out on that kiyum. But the mitzvah d'oraisi was certainly yotzei. Okay? We'll take 2 minutes just because it's fascinating. We've talked about it before. There's a big discussion. What are the rules for when I make a birchas hamitzvah? You can hang it up. And when I don't. For example, like the easiest one, right? When you bring a tea to one of your parents, you don't say, Asher Kiddushin Sav Sivanu al mitzvahs kibud avaim. Why not? So, because we'll run out of time, there's a famous Rash, Tshuva Sarashba, that everybody quotes. It's source number 9, Chelek Aleph Simon Yud Ches. I won't read it inside. I'll just make the big point. The Rashba says there is no rule. Don't think there's one rule that's going to explain all the mitzvos. It's not true. There are many, many rules, and there's much confusion surrounding it. However, one of the big rules the Rashba cites, which is the explanation for most of our mitzvos, is any mitzvah that's dependent on another human being's consent for the mitzvah to be chal, you don't make a bracha. So for example, that's why for the most part, we never make brachos on Bein Adam L'Chaveros. Because if you bring your mother a tea and she tells you, I changed my mind, well, now you made a bracha levatala, right? If you take out money to give to the poor person who's asking you for a tzedakah and he leaves or he's offended because you're only giving him, you know, this many shekel and he's hoping for more and he walks away, right? These are all potential bracha levatalas. And therefore, the halacha says in a situation where it's dependent on somebody else's consent, there's a whole discussion about making a bracha under the chuppah. You know, what if she says no? Which is why we make a bracha afterwards. There's all these situations. That's the general rule. The general rule is, if you're dependent on somebody else to do the mitzvah, then we don't make a bracha, because if the other person doesn't consent, it may be a bracha levatala. I don't know who I heard this svara from, but there's another svara out there based on this idea, and it's very compelling to me. And that is, in a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro, I want to be careful I say this. Hopefully, you know, we would like to think we would give charity even if it wasn't a mitzvah. And we would like to think that we would honor our parents, right, even if it wasn't a mitzvah. So what happens is, if you imagine this, you know, when you bring your mother a tea and you make a bracha, she feels like an object. She feels like a means to an end, right? This is the source by which I'm going to get a mitzvah. The person who comes to your house who asks for money, he wants to be treated like a human being, not like a lulav. So if you keep making brachos on Bein Adam L'Chaveros, you make a bracha, you know, you do a favor for your friend, and then you say, Asher Kishem Sav Sivanu, you know, al mitzvas, you know, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. You just turned him into an object. He stopped being a human being and he became an object. Okay, so those are generally the rules and the theories behind when you make a birchas hametz, when you don't. There's more to be said on that, but let's get to the last part of the shiur, which is related to what we've said till now, but really could be presented as a standalone idea. And I beg your indulgence in case the stuff I say sounds dangerous. I promise you it's all sourced, even though you may not like it and you have every right to disagree. Okay, the Gemara in Baba Kama, Lamed Amud Aleph, source number 10, says as follows. Am Rav Yehuda, Haiman deboy lemeheve chasida, a person who wants to be very, very righteous, lekaye mili dinazikin. Rav Yehuda says, you know, you want to be a righteous person? Be very, very careful in terms of monetary issues. Be careful not to damage things your friends have, etc. Rava Amar, no, you could do better than that. Mili de avos. You should be mekayim. You want to be a good person? You should be mekayim everything it says in Pirkei Avos. That's really, really good advice for interpersonal relationships. Va'amrila, the Gemara says, no, there's a third shita that says, no, you want to be a good person? What should you study? What should you be careful about? Mili de brachos. You should be careful about brachos. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense, especially in the context in which we're describing it. But the Rav thought that mili de brachos encompasses the other two shitas, both nezikin and avos. Because brachos is more than just blessing God. Okay? He thought that somehow brachos is the basis for our relationship with God, that brachos encompassed the other two. Now, how would this work? Now we get to a bit of the dangerous part. The question is, what does a bracha mean? Let's just focus on the first word. What does baruch mean? So the usual smart translation, when not simple stuff, like the usual smart translation is, you, God, are praised. Okay, it's like an adjective of God. God is baruch. Or in Frumer Siddurim, like you look in the Hebrew, God is the source of all brachos. Okay, the Rav said, based on a bunch of sources, including Kabbalistic sources, that's all wrong. And that's not how the word Baruch is used in the Torah. And if you want to know what a word means, you look in the Torah. So look at source number 11. Beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Says the Torah, Vayivra Elokim es ha'adam b'tzalmo b'tzelem Elokim bara oto, zachar u'nekeva bara otam. Okay, it's a hard pasuk. God created man in his image, in both male and female form. We'll come back to that. Vayivarech otam Elokim. God blessed them, I guess. Vayomer lohem Elokim, peru urvu umilu et haaretz v'chibshua, uridu bidgad. Okay, they should multiply and do all these things. What does it mean, right? Vayivarech otam Elokim. It doesn't mean that God described them as being blessed. It doesn't mean that God said to them, they're the source of all blessing. God blessed them. Okay, God gave them some power. God made them bigger. But it means what we say, that God blessed them. Similarly, in source number 12, Vayivarech Elokim et Yom HaShivi'i Vayikadesh Oto Kivo Shabbat Mikom HaTorah Shavuot Glasot. God wasn't describing the seventh day. God blessed the seventh day. It's as if he gave the seventh day more power. Okay, now obviously this is going into dangerous territory, because how could we bless God, right? God is the source of all blessings. So we couldn't say it on our own. But it turns out it's an Ibn Ezra and it's a Ramban. Source number 13 says the Ibn Ezra, or the Ramban is quoting the Ibn Ezra, for Rabbi Avraham Omar, ki habracha tosefet tov. A bracha is the addition of goodness. She yitchadesh hagufot yitron koach betoladot. When God at least blesses something, it gives that thing more power. It gives that thing more potential. It makes all the component parts of that thing work better and more powerfully. Ubinishama yitron asechal. When God blesses our neshama, in this context, it makes us smarter. Vayikadesh oto, and it makes it more sanctified. Shelo asabo melacha kishar hayamim. When God blessed the seventh day, he gave the seventh day more power. He made it a better day. He made it more powerful. And the Ramban says, udvaro bazen nachon lama'aminim bo. Says the Ramban, this is correct for those who believe in it. Because it cannot be proven otherwise. Right? The idea of a blessing, it's not something you can see in nature. There's nothing about the seventh day that our senses can identify as being better than the other 6 days. On Shabbos, we feel something different, but it can't be proven. Right? There's no measuring rod that makes it better. So what's going on? What's going on, says the Rav, based on the Ibn Ezra, based on the Ramban, based on all kinds of Kabbalistic sources that serious people believe in, there is a way for human beings to bless God. It comes from the Pasuk in 11 that we started with. Vayivra Elokim et Adam b'tzalmo b'tzalem Elokim barato zachar unikeva bara otam. In Kabbalah, and bear with me, but in Kabbalah, it's not just that God created male and female. It's that, and I realize as I'm saying it, that maybe this is the 2022 may not be the right time to raise this, but here we go. It's that each of us has within us zachar and nikeva. In Kabbalah, duchra, from the word zachar, and nukva, from the word nekeva, are not descriptions of physical attributes. They are descriptions of personality traits. Zachar means, as you could guess, more active, a more giving role, and nekeva is more of a recipient. And in Kabbalah, we have both parts. What's an example? An example is you're a teacher. So generally, if you're the teacher, male or female, you're the giver. You come into class and you give. In Kabbalah, that's zachar. And your students receive. In Kabbalah, that's nekeva. But what happens if one of your students says something brilliant and you never thought about it before? All of a sudden, that student is the giver. And the teacher becomes the recipient. Each of us has within us parts that are givers and recipients. Okay, that's easy. The harder part, the jump, but in Kabbalah, people can do this, is to say the same thing with God. God consists both as a giver and as a recipient. He didn't have to be, but that's the way he created his nature. And God created a world in which his presence is hidden from us. It didn't have to be. We could go outside right now. Some of us are outside right now. And God could do a miracle. And we would have no doubt of the existence of God. But for some reason, God created a world in which he, and I want to be careful how I say this, needs our help. Without our help, he can't act. Why? Because he made a rule. Obviously, he doesn't need our help. He could act without us. But God created a world in which he is both zachar and nekeva. And at some points, he needs us. Without us, he's not present. And so when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we are making God present in this world. We are blessing God. It's against every single thing we were ever taught. But apparently, it's the accepted strain in Kabbalah for what it means. And it's not disrespectful of God. God created a world in which for him to be present, I have to make brachos. And the more I make brachos, the more present I make God. Look where it comes up. Last source in 14. Okay, the Jewish people sin. I guess it's Cheda Meraglin. Okay, God's going to kill us all. So Moshe's talking. If you kill us all, and the Gentiles will hear all about you, and what will they say? Mi bilti yecholet Hashem lehaviat ha'amazel ha'aretz Hashem nishpalohem vayishchatem bamidbar. You know why God killed the Jews? Because he's not strong enough. He didn't have the power to fight with the gods of Eretz Kinaan. And now Moshe says, va'ata yigdal na koach Hashem kasher dibar talemor. God, make yourself bigger. Make yourself greater. Moshe's blessing God in this moment. And how does he do it? By Yud Gimel Midos. Hashem Erech Apayim Rav Chesed Venosech. Right? Rav Bik has this idea. Everybody should, well, it doesn't make sense for me to say. Rav Bik wrote a sefer. It's unbelievable. On Yud Gimel Midos. And his theory is Yud Gimel Midos makes God more present. What we're doing is making God more present. And when we make a bracha, we're making God more present. And the more brachos we make every time we say with Kavana, Baruch Atah Hashem, it's like an invitation for God to be more present, to be more powerful. Why does he need it? Because that's how he created the world. He could have created the world otherwise, but the world that he created requires us to invite God to be present. And I think, to end where we started, that's the next pasuk. We're supposed to bench. We're supposed to make brachos. He shomer lecha pen tishkachet Hashem alokecha livilti shmor mitzvotavu mishpatavu chukotavu Hashem alochim sabcha ayom. How should I be careful to not forget God? By making brachos. If I go through my day reminding myself of how grateful I am, I'm not just being grateful to God, I'm making God more present in my life. When I make a bracha out loud and somebody answers, God is now there in a way that he wasn't before. Baruch atah Hashem, yes. God, I'm blessing you. How could it be that I am blessing the infinite, the omniscient, the omni, everything? Because that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to bless him. And when I bless him, I'm literally making him more present. And therefore, brachos aren't just another mitzvah. Brachos are the foundation for our relationship with God. They allow us, kiviyachol, to summon God's presence whenever we want to, whenever we realize that we've benefited from God, or said in a more dangerous way, whenever we want God to be more present. For God to show up, we have to invite him. How do we invite him? We invite him by making brachos. Okay, out of time. Three parts to the shir. First, birchos hananin, all based on svara. What's the role of Sfara? It can create a din. It can't create a halacha. Interesting discussion. Birchos HaMitzvah, they exist separate and apart from the Maisa HaMitzvah. You can be Yotze any mitzvah without a bracha. But once again, they're a mitzvah Rabbanan. It's nice to make Birchos HaMitzvahs. We should try. Ultimately, the last piece about the importance of bracha, our role in the world, God being male and female, God asking us for help, not because he needs it, but because we want it. And ultimately, brachos being our invitation to God to be more present in our lives and to be more present in the world. Yashar Koach to everybody. Have a great, great Shabbos. And see you Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul next week.
Yashar Koach.